now. Stop humming, it's everything to change. The change. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Cuff how my intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 46. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL, and joined by my man, Mike. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening, man? Back? Had a week back off. In the saddle, but 2 weeks man. Off? 2 weeks since
we been? It's been a bit. I think 1 week. Yeah, just one week. Fizz. Yeah.
All right, we good. We back, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I had thanks to Fizzle for coming on last week. That was a good episode, long episode, but it was good. Going over some of the undervalued players that you can find on your waiver wires. So if you haven't checked that episode out, go ahead, check that out. But this week, me and Mike, we're going to get into some Campus to Canton talk. So we haven't really done that too much on America's Game, but we got a new Campus to Canton league going to be starting on South Harmon here within the next week or two. So I kind of just wanted to like talk it out a little bit because I've only participated in one ever and I was a complete noob to it. So this will be my second one. I'm still fairly a noob to it. I mean, I understand the process of it and how it all works, but hell, I mean, I'm sure you've been in multiples of them. You can teach me a little bit here. So excited to talk about a little Campus to Canton.
I don't know if I can. I've done a few and I've yet to win either side. Right. NFL, so they just keep it 100 with the Erica. I don't know if I'm qualified either, but it's fun. It's fun because it's a new dynamic that I'm just not used to. It's kind of like what we talked about auctions. That's why I enjoy doing auction drafts so much more. It's just, who knows? Like, everybody really feels like they're on equal playing field, and it's kind of a toss-up. So there's a lot of edges to be gained. You know, some of the dynasty leagues you're in that are a little bit sharper and that kind of stuff, as the community gets a little better, it becomes tougher to kind of figure out how to one-up them. How am I going to beat this competition? But C2C leagues especially, new territory for everybody. We're all going to fail equally. Let's go.
Yeah. I know my first one I did, my NFL side was I just completely missed on everybody. Like, they all got hurt or they just weren't very good. And so, like, my team was in the shitter from the beginning. And then I did get some college guys to come over. That kind of helped a little bit, but I never was able to, you know, make a playoff run or anything like that. So yeah, it's really interesting strategies or in leagues basically. So, what is Campus to Canton League? So it's basically two leagues. You have an NFL side and you have a college side. So mostly, we draft the NFL side first. You can do college first. It doesn't matter. But on ours, we're going to be drafting the NFL side first. We're going to be doing a snake draft, all that. I guess you could do it as an auction if you wanted to. But basically, just your normal NFL draft. You draft the NFL side, all your players, whatever your settings you're going to do. Going to draft all your NFL guys first. So you do that. Then you're going to go over. So right now, the only thing with college fantasy, it's only on Fantrax right now, unfortunately. It's an okay site. It could be better. So you got to go over to Fantrax. You're going to set up your college side for college fantasy football, and you're basically going to draft your college players from there. And it's obviously year by year, so obviously you're going to have supplemental drafts every year for freshmen. You know, also for anybody who's on waivers, basically, that's still available. Maybe, you know, some recruit, high recruit, never got playing time and transfers over to, you know, Western Kentucky or something, and now he's going to be a star there. So there's all those kinds of players. So what on the NFL side, does that really does that affect like your college side? So like, say, man, I have really, really strong wide receivers in the NFL side, so I'm not going to pay his attention to the college side wide receivers. Are you kind of just drafting best player available? What you think of that at that spot?
I think what it is for me is a lot of it, it just opens up so many strategies between the two, right, and like how you want to do it. I don't know if it's optimal to focus on one side or the other, or whether it's optimal to kind of maybe have a mix. It's interesting too, because when you look at college players, the guys who necessarily maybe have the best chance of being NFL prospects and helping out your fantasy, your NFL side, think about it like a dynasty, helping out your dynasty team essentially down the road, aren't necessarily the most valuable or the biggest point scorers on the college side, right? Like the correlation is very weird, right? So sometimes the guys who score the most points on the college side would help you win a championship are going to be guys that probably have no NFL future at all, to be completely honest, right? They're going to be some Mac quarterback who's 5'9", but he runs for 1,200 yards a year. He throws for 5,000 yards, and every game he's in is a 63-57 shootout, right? He's going to score a ton of fantasy points in the college side, but NFL prospects, that dude's never getting drafted, probably never going to be on a team. So it's really tough to kind of judge like how you want to do it. Do you want to focus on the college side really promoting and just trying to score fantasy points and win a championship over there? Do you want to treat it kind of like a Devy side that also scores some fantasy points and maybe have this little bit of mix and match, and then eventually you'll get your guys to the NFL? I think probably the greatest part, though, to answer your original question, Eric, is at least for me, I never really worry what's on my NFL side with what I have on my college side, like what's coming. If I had, let's just hypothetically say the NFL side, I had CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I just got Marvin Harrison. I'm never going to look at the college side and go, oh my gosh, I got too many good NFL wide receivers. I don't want good NFL wide receiver prospects. Like, it's good to have an abundance, so that really doesn't affect me. Or I'm not really trying to backfill holes. I think when you really get into it, though, that's maybe if I'm chasing a championship, say, on the NFL side, maybe I leverage some of my college stuff to buoy, like, maybe the quarterback position on the NFL side that's not doing so well because I'm going for a championship there. So that's really, for me, all it really comes down to is – listen, if once I decide that I've never been in a position to win both or be good in both, but if I was, maybe I got to make a decision on which side I want to really try to focus on winning and then start putting some of the assets from the other one into filling up the holes or shoring up the holes on the opposite.
Yeah, I think I might use that as like a tiebreaker. So if I have, you know, Justin Jefferson, I got Garrett Wilson, I got Drake London, I got Michael Pittman Jr., Brandon Ayuk, I'm loaded at wide receiver. You know, so maybe when I go in college, okay, I'm going to take, you know, Trevor Etienne here. I'm going to take Ashton Jeanty here. I'm going to take Quinshon Judkins here. You know, I'm going to take one of these running backs and use that kind of as the tiebreaker, I guess, is kind of how I think I would play it. One of the main points you did bring up too, like, so obviously you're playing the whole college season as well, and you're getting fantasy points for your college players. So I just pulled up our league for using our settings from last year. And if you look at the top quarterbacks from last year, obviously Jaden Daniels was number one. Bo Nix was number two. Caden Salter, quarterback Liberty. Never heard of him. Byron Brown, fourth quarterback. He was South Florida's quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, I've heard of him. He's with Oregon. I was with Oklahoma last year. Jordan McLeod, Texas State. Diego Pavala, Vanderbilt. Like, I haven't heard of probably half of these guys for the quarterback spot. So obviously there's some quarterbacks you can get later on in the draft to help you win the college side, but are these guys ever going to help you win the NFL side? Most likely not. Like, there's just, they're in certain systems where they put up a shit ton of points. You kind of look at like Western Kentucky, like Bailey Zappe a couple years ago, was one of the top quarterbacks in college fantasy. He was putting up monster numbers. Austin Reed last year, kind of the same thing with Western Kentucky. So there's different offenses that are just primed to throw the ball 50, 60 times a game, and those guys are going to get you a shit ton of points. But are they going to ever help you in the NFL side? Probably not. So you got to kind of balance that too. You don't want a shit ton of these guys that really don't have an NFL future. But, you know, hey, if I could have a couple of these guys on my bench, or, you know, rely on them as my backups for, you know, super flex spots and stuff like that, then you could definitely win the college league. And these players are going to help you win the college league ultimately. They're not going to help you in the NFL side. They might not even get drafted, but having some of these guys is definitely really important. How have you balanced that in the past? Have you tried to, like, get a shit ton of these guys, or you kind of, like, limit your, you know, exposure to guys who might not have an NFL future?
So I've done a really piss poor job of trying to do it together and really trying to balance out, you know, especially at the top of these drafts, whether it be the startup draft or the supplemental draft. So when I talk supplemental draft, you just think like incoming freshman. It's basically like a rookie draft for your college side. So it's going to be the biggest draft that you're going to have in a C2C league. But whether it's that kind of draft, like I really think at the top of it, in the past, I've been really focused on, I want guys who I think are going to have long-term success, right? As someday they're going to graduate to my NFL roster and they're going to be a typical first round or second round dynasty kind of rookie pick, like somewhere where, okay, good. I'm glad I got that guy. I don't want that fourth or fifth round type where I'm like, eh, maybe, maybe he could do something. The Tyrone Tracy's of the world, right? I want more Marvin Harrison's. That's what I've been doing in the past, Eric, and I don't think it's worked. And I've been trying to really backfill with production. Like, okay, I can go get a Daquan Finn, you know, a Mac kid at quarterback and fill that production. I can kind of scour the waiver wire or look at last year, like who went unnoticed. Can I fill some holes with some cheap college production that probably has no NFL upside? And I've come nowhere close to winning a league yet. So I'm probably going to try to do something completely different. And I think I may be the person who chases just college fantasy on the college side. And if any of those guys end up going on to have an NFL career or maybe kind of move into the fact that they surprise us, right? We didn't really think Michael Penix was going to be something or be drafted in the first round. Bo Nix, like those kind of guys. All of a sudden they surprise you on the NFL side, then good. That's like free found money. And maybe my focus is, especially in the initial startup, the initial drafts, is more on like, what can I get college production wise? Like, can I be that guy in the early rounds, really chasing those super elite difference makers from a college fantasy point production? Because what I've been doing now hasn't been working. So maybe it's time to change it up, right? Like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, but expecting a different outcome. So I don't want to be insane anymore.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to do that either. Like for me personally, how I would like to do it, or I have done it, I want to try and just get as much NFL talent as possible. Guys that I know that are going to get drafted. Mm. I usually try to stay away from, you know, these guys that are probably undrafted free agents or seventh round picks that probably don't have you know, probably a much of an NFL future, if any, and go from there. But yeah, it's probably gonna, if I want to win both sides, which I do, every league that I'm in, I want to win both sides, or whatever league I'm in, I'm going to try and win it. But I'm going to try and try it out this year. I think with our league that we're going to start up, I'm going to take some of these guys who might not have an NFL future, but they're going to produce for me, at least on the college side of the football. So, yeah, like you mentioned, Daquan Finn from Baylor is another guy. There's so many guys on here that I've Thomas Castellanos, who you mentioned to me yesterday. He had 1,000 rushing yards last year from the quarterback position, along with, you know, Jaden Daniels did it, and Caden Salter did it for Liberty. So, you know, getting those guys too could definitely help out. And some of these other guys that also can run, like Garrett Green, West Virginia, ran for 700 yards. Darren Granger from Georgia State ran for 700 yards. So getting those types of guys will be beneficial for you, especially in those leagues.
The one thing I can say, though, okay, like the easiest position for me so far has been tight end. Because okay, we talk about in the NFL, like, tight ends don't matter, right? That's kind of the saying around these parts for us. You go look at the college scoring for tight ends, and it is even worse. Like, it is disgusting. So, at least with tight ends, on the college side, I'm going to just draft guys that I think have an NFL future, right? Like guys that fit that prototype, right? I don't want to be drafting the 6'2" tight end where I got to tell myself a story about it. Is he going to be athletic enough to be maybe a move type guy at the NFL level? I want those Kyle Pitts lookalikes, right? Like I want those Adonis type tight ends, those super productive guys where I can already just put them into the next level. And generally for fantasy points, though, on the college side, even boosting it up with tight end premium and all that, college tight ends really score just poop. Like they're really, really bad. Dallin Holker, and I don't remember who else was last year, but there was like two tight ends in the entire league for most of my C2C leagues, maybe Brock Bowers. That was it. But the rest of the tight ends are like, who the hell is this guy? Never heard of him. Yeah. And they're in this giant range of, listen, I may have like a Luke Lachey type or somebody, Luke Haas, the Arkansas tight end. I may have somebody that I think fits that athletic prototype, and they might score like 13 fantasy points a game. And like these Mac kids who are getting all these fantasy points, which you think are getting all these fantasy points, only score like 14. Right, so the separation is different. So I go, why would I even roster these guys? Because they have no NFL upside whatsoever. Let me get the NFL prototype guys. So at least I think that part for my tight end strategy is going to stay the exact same with C2C moving forward, because tight end is really, really bad on the college side. Really bad.
Yeah. That, so I pulled up tight end and just looking at it. So Holker, who you mentioned, who got undrafted free agent, actually, had in this league 243 points. He scored 20 fantasy points per game last year from the tight end spot. Next up was Harold Fannin from Bowling Green. He put up 193 points. Holden Willis from Middle Tennessee, 190 points. Justin Jolly from North Carolina State. Colston Loveland, who's out, you know, probably the top tight end prospect, he was fifth. So that just kind of shows you, yeah, like Holker was an undrafted free agent, and he led all the tight ends by 3 points. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's the league that you're looking at too. He is a 0.75 tight end premium. Like it's juiced for the tight end. Imagine what that'd be if you had a 0.5, 0.25, or no tight end premium. Just disgusting. Just disgusting. Dallin Holker was pretty much the only one last year that was getting fed. And he did that on, what, 60 catches for 700 and some yards? The tight ends just don't eat in college. They just really don't.
No. Yeah, so that might change my strategy for drafting tight ends as well. Like you said, like I might want to go and get the Colston Lovelands, the Luke Lachey's, Ben Urisek's, the Oscar Delps of the world, and just go from there. I think another thing that I want to mention here that's going to be really, really big, and you do a podcast on their network, so campusdecanton.com. If you've never been over there, make sure you guys head on over there. I've had Matt Bruning on the show before. Matt Bruning's a great guy. He works over there, one of the founders. They have the best rankings out there for college leagues. If you want to sort it by Devy, if you want to just by college fantasy, which they'll sort it by, some of these guys that aren't probably going to make the NFL up at the top, but you can do it by strictly Devy. If you want to just do it by Campus to Canton rankings, there's three different rankings, the sliders that they have where you can look up their rankings and basically draft off of it. And they've added some new tools there this year too. So the big one is the draft assistant tool. You're going to be able to input your league ID and all that into there. And it's going to give you the best available player based on Campus to Canton rankings at the time. So if you are doing a Campus to Canton league anytime soon, and you're not signed up for campusdecanton.com, you need to sign up over there and use this draft tool, because this draft tool is going to basically save you. I know me and Mike talked about it already. Like, this is like the must-have thing right now for a Campus to Canton league. So this is a literal game changer. Like I wrote in a Twitter post the other day for Campus to Canton leagues, having this draft tool is going to be big, especially for these leagues.
It is. It's funny that you brought that up too, because I'm using it right now. So I'm doing a mock draft, a C2C startup mock draft with the guys over there. So Felix and Matt and Chris, Colin, a lot of really important people at Campus Canton. in the Campus Cant community are doing a startup mock, so they'll be airing Wednesday night after the show comes out, but tonight while we're recording. So that'll be coming out. They're doing a live one. They're going to recap it, talk about it. But I'm using the tool right now. It's so much easier. I just put in the league ID, and I'm like, okay, perfect. Now I can sort by position. You mentioned the sliders. I'll just change it. If I'm looking for college production, I'll rank them by college production. If I'm looking for long-term NFL success, I'll rank it by Devy. If I'm looking for just a mix of both, who's the best, boom, C2C format. And then I go by position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. If I want to look at just freshmen, if I want to stay like super young, really try to build this out and hit on a lot of freshmen, you can do that. So it's been fun. And so far, I started Evan Stewart, Shedeur Sanders, and Dante Moore. I just made my third round pick, Eric. So.
Wow, so you're going to have an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm out of place, too. Like, I'm drafting with real sharks, right? And I'm like, Evan Stewart seems pretty good to me. Take him in the first round. And then in the second round, I'm going, well, Shedeur Sanders, maybe. So we'll see if I get roasted tonight for my picks, but that's where we're at right now. And I love this new mock draft tool, or this new draft tool that they have. It makes it so much easier than – see, you mentioned it's on Fantrax, and Fantrax does a lot of stuff well. But, like, when we're looking at our league right now getting set up, if you were to go do a mock draft on it, you still got a lot of guys who have graduated to the NFL, like gone on, been drafted, graduated school, and it's mixed in the player pool. So that does happen sometimes where it gets convoluted and they're like, you know, somebody will take Bo Nix or whatever. And it's like, he gone, man. He did his 9 years in college. He's out the door. It's over. Yeah.
Especially if you're a noob, you know, playing in this leagues, and you don't know, like, who's this Dalen Holker guy? Like we were mentioning earlier. Oh, right. He is the number one tight end. I'm getting him. Well, then comes week one and you realize, oh, this guy's not in the NFL now. You know, so that's one thing that definitely needs to get fixed on the Fantrax side. I remember that from my old ones. Like, they would have a lot of these guys lingering in the system still, even though they've graduated. So that's definitely one thing you're going to have to keep an eye on as well. You know, me, you, we're diehards, we're degenerates, so we kind of know these things. We know who the Dalen Holkers of the world are.
Right.
So that we kind of avoid. But yeah, for, like, you know, somebody who's be coming into this brand new, yeah, that's one thing you definitely have to watch out. So good call out on that one for sure.
Well, I've had one. I remember my first one I did. I think the kid might play at Colorado now, running back, but he was highly rated, had a good freshman year. And then he started at Houston or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think we're in the sixth round or seventh round. I'm looking at Campus DeCanton ranks, and he's up there. And I'm like, oh, man, he's only a sophomore. I was looking at his stats, and I was like, damn, he had a good year last year too. Okay, he kind of fits. Maybe he's got an NFL future, especially if he were to transfer to a bigger program and get more exposure. And because it's on Fantrax and I'm not familiar with it and where to find everything, and you can't always stay up to date. I mean, there's 130-some Division I schools. Like, it's – I have a hard enough time keeping track of 53 or 32 in the NFL, 53-man rosters in the NFL. You got 90-plus-man rosters in 133 schools in Division I. Right. That's a lot. I mean, if you were to do a you know how you do those deep roster dives and it usually ends up in, like, two parts. You do the AFC and the NFC. Eric, it'd take you, like, 2 months, I think, if you were to do that.
Yeah, I was going to announce that on the podcast here today. Me and Mike will be starting our depth chart breakdowns for every college team. Right, all the way leading up to the NCAA coming out. No,
I don't even think we get through the Big Ten, but right. It's a big, like, 19 now. But anyways, to finish that story, so I like the kid, right? So in the sixth round, I go ahead and I push the button. And I came back to it, like, maybe looked in an hour, and there was a little icon next to this guy's name, and I was like, what the hell does that mean? And I pulled it up, and then there was, like, a news blurb that I found on Twitter or something. The kid had, like, torn his ACL the week before. In spring practice, right before I draft, I was like, damn it. What the fuck? You know how much you get clowned for in you know, if you did that in a sleeper league, right? Everybody's right. So tapped in and dynasty, that kind of stuff. So Fantrax, though, like, nobody noticed other than me, like, the guy to do it, but it's still disappointing. But if somebody would have noticed, be like, you just drafted a dude who just tore his ACL, bud. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Another thing you mentioned to me yesterday as well is when you do these supplemental drafts and okay, round three, I drafted this guy, round four, I drafted this guy, and they end up being like complete bust. Like, John Emery Jr., the running back from LSU, was like a first round pick all the time. DJ Ugalele was a huge, like, first overall pick in a lot of campus to Canton leagues like 3 years ago. And now that guy's like on his seventh team. So, you can get those guys, but then you look in like round 17, I got Ollie Gordon. Round 18, I got Tatero McMillan, from Arizona. So like you can get these guys like super late who end up becoming superstars, and maybe some of your guys that you took in round two, three, four end up being complete busts too.
Yeah, I was looking at for one a lot of people who did the first South Harmon C2C league was new for a lot of them. I did another one that Adam and I are in that we co-manage, and I wanted to look at that one because there's a few more like sharper people or people who've been doing it for a little bit longer, and just see what the supplemental draft was like last year, and to talk about like some later picks. Like Ben Sinnott was a 12-03 supplemental pick. Last year, like you feel pretty good about that one with the draft capital you just got now for your dynasty team. Jeremy Bernard is a 12th rounder, now transferred to Alabama, kind of going to be featured in that Alabama offense, you would think. So that's like one you're like, oh shit, college production and maybe an NFL future. But yeah, there are some guys up there. I mean, there's some guys that were taken in the first, second round. Granted, a lot of these guys are going to be freshmen because it kind of caters to trying to take shots on youth when they first come in and hit the home run.
Right.
But I'll tell you, Eric, we look back in a couple of years, a lot of these guys will bust out and you won't even know who they are, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know much about like Reuben Owens, except for he didn't do much last year, right? But
Right.
like that's a guy for Texas A&M at running back you could just never hear from again, and you spent a first round supplemental pick on. So I think that probably really highlights the whole thing about C2C leagues are kind of all over the place where nobody really knows what value is. I mean, the campus to Canton guys are really, really good at it, and they're studying this stuff. But for us average people, us
Right.
peasants in the college game, it gets wild, which I think is what makes it so exciting, is because it's an untouched frontier.
Right. I'm gonna go back and kind of look at an older class and see
how
on
bad it
24,
was.
yeah, on 24/7 Sports and see some of the names that are here if it'll ever load. So while we're doing that, but yeah, man, I'm definitely like excited to like start learning these college players, and I think it's going to be a lot more popular with the game coming out too. Like I kind of wanted to
Yes.
talk about that, like how important it is to have the game with it too. Okay, I got this to pull up. So let's see, let's do it by position. So we'll go by quarterbacks for 2021 class. So Quinn Ewers was number one, Caleb Williams number two,
Not bad.
Sam Heward, number three.
Yet to be really heard from.
Drake May, number four.
Did all right.
Brock Vandegrift, number five.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, went to Georgia. I think he transferred on to somewhere else. JJ McCarthy was six.
Okay.
Caden Salter, who I mentioned, is now at Liberty,
Liberty.
who I mentioned earlier, seven. Kyle McCord, eight.
Woof.
Ty Thompson, nine. Tyler Buckner, 10. Baron Morton, Eli Stowers, Jackson Dart is here, Jalen Milroe, Miller Moss, who's going to be starting at USC this year. So, yeah, I mean, that's not the greatest example because there's actually some good guys in there, but there's also some guys in here where you're like, who the hell is that?
Who is that guy? Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I go to 2022 and we'll look at the quarterbacks there. If it'll load, come on. 24/7's got all these ads and it takes forever for things to load. There it goes. All right, so Drew Aller was number one. Cade Klubnik is number two. Like those guys, they're well known of, but they never have really hit. Connor Wegman, he's rated pretty high. He's three. Ty Simpson for Alabama, he's four. He hasn't started yet. Devin Brown for Ohio State, I think he's moved on already. Walker Howard at LSU, Gunnar Stockton, Nick Evers, Malik Murphy, Brady Allen, like some of these ones I haven't even heard of before. So it's definitely kind of a crapshoot on who you take, and you can kind of see like, oh man, Drew Aller's number one quarterback, but he hasn't done really anything for college fantasy at all.
Yeah. So I pulled up and I put it on the screen here, Eric, for you to see. This is a startup that I did in 2022. And
Okay.
just like the picks, right? So for the audience, the 101 was Bijan Robinson. I'd say everybody thinks that one did okay. Two was Travion Henderson. So far, so good. Jahmyr Gibbs, three. Bryce Young, four. 105, Zach Evans.
Woof.
Zach Evans. JSN, six. Stroud, seven. Sean Tucker. The 108.
Yeah, that's an undrafted free agent, went eighth overall.
Yo, Caleb Williams,
over
Kayshon
Caleb
Boutte.
Williams. Yeah,
Kayshon
Kayshon
Boutte,
Boutte for
110.
sure.
Hendon Hooker, the 111. Nick Singleton, that one did okay. Marvin Harrison. Deuce Vaughn. College-wise, production, probably fine. NFL,
Not so much, yeah.
Tank Bigsby.
Yep, woof.
Quinn Ewers, Braylon Allen, Michael Mayer, Brock Bowers. Funny, those two guys went right next to each other.
Yeah.
Got drafted the same team back to back years. Xavier Worthy, Will Shipley, Donovan Edwards, Quentin Johnston. How about this guy, man? Do you remember him?
Branson Robinson?
No,
Oh, Tavion
Tavion
Thomas. Yeah,
Thomas.
from Utah.
Yep.
Yep.
Marvin Mims, Sam Hartman, Spencer
Woof.
Rattler, Branson Robinson, he was injured last year. Drew Alar, Josh Downs, Jaden Blue, Jackson Dart, Ja'Cory Brooks. Yes.
Yeah.
Emeka Buka. Right? Like, so that's just your first three rounds. And yes,
Yeah.
there's a lot of studs in there. Whoever took Marvin Harrison is having a great time. Right?
Yep.
But whoever walked away from the draft with Kayshon Boutte, Tank Bigsby, and Marvin Mims on the NFL side, at least right now, is like, my team
Yeah.
sucks.
Yeah, like round 7 and round 8 at the turn is Tank Dell and Sam Laporta.
Yeah.
Hell of a two picks there. Drake May is in round 8 there.
Yep.
JJ McCarthy round 10. Trying to see if there's any other names in there that I see. Rashee Rice round 11.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that's a good one. Ben Yurosek, who's at Georgia now, round 13. See if there's any other. Oh, Tet McMillen, round 15. That's a
Nice.
nice one. Yeah, that's a really nice one.
Jaden Daniels, round 16.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, round 16, was the number one quarterback last year. Jalin Hyatt, round 17. Adonai Mitchell, round 18. Aiden O'Connell, round 19.
You're gonna have some massive hits way down here.
Yeah, Quinch. Look at that. Quishon Judkins, round 19.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I mean you can if you know what the hell you're doing and
Roma
using
Dunze.
the yeah Roma Dunze, wow.
26-6.
Yeah. I mean you can get these super studs in your drafts if you know what the hell you're doing. And I think being able to have this Campus DeGant tool is going to be big. Ladd McConkey round 31.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean there's some Roman Wilson, round 35. Bo Nix, round 35. Ray Davis, round 35. So, yeah, I mean, you guys are seeing all these guys who are going to be playing in the NFLs on Sundays. You can get them in round 35. You just got to know who you're taking, know these depth charts a little bit. And I think having, like I said, having this Campus DeCant tool is going to be key for you. If you can
It's
get.
massive.
Yeah, you sign up for Campus DeCanton just to get the draft tool, and you're getting the rankings, and they do great articles. Their podcast, Mike and Adam have their podcast on there for Canton Bound. There's all kinds of other good podcasts on there. They go over each conference. They do good YouTube stuff, so definitely go check those guys out. They have all kinds of tools that they're introducing this year, athletic comp tool. Player metric plots, so you can kind of see if your college favorite college player is staying on track to become an impact NFL player. Team profiles for all 134 FBS teams. I mean, the list goes on and on for all the good stuff that Campus DeCanton has going on there. So that'll really help you if you decide to join a Campus DeCanton league this year for sure.
Yeah, they pretty much got everything. They'll get you taken care of. And then I like talking about it because it's just something a little bit different. It really is dynasty with some college football, right? And the two separate leagues, and you get to do it even earlier. I think I'm really excited. Let's talk about it because I know for me in the past, and this is before my dynasty career, this is just with fantasy football and NFL in general, but the college football video game contributed so much to my knowledge of players coming out. Yeah. It really did because you're playing – I mean, we're putting hours and hours, you know, hundreds of hours at the totality of it, putting it into this game and doing Dynasty for multi-years. And I used to always, I know some people like to get, they especially like to get to where it's everything's just fictitional and it's generated draft classes. But usually once I'd get to like year five or whatever, and some of the guys in the game from the roster set had fallen off the table, then I'm, you know, I'm like looking for a new challenge. Then I go to a new team and start a dynasty over again, right? Like try to do something different, start a brand new one. So I'll say that the college football game helped me out so much because you, especially with like freshmen and sophomores, and you'd be playing the game and you see the stats at the end of the season or whatever, like who won the Heisman or who won the, you know, the Maxwell Award or the best receiver and that kind of thing. And you're like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. And then you start looking at it, you're like, damn, you know, 6'4", 210 at wide receiver. He's got a 94 speed. You know, like you start looking at some of the ratings and stuff, and then you really start to follow it. And then maybe that leads you down to YouTube, and you go try to look up a YouTube highlight of the guy or whatever. So I think this college football game coming back is going to really help explode the college fantasy game, as well as help us just with our dynasty stuff, because I'm going to know some of these guys long before – they even hit the NFL draft. So C2C, Dynasty, the whole thing, college football coming back as a video game form. I'm super excited about just for that part, not even the gameplay and, you know, getting to do what I really like to do, but the knowledge part's really underrated, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Because I used to be one of the guys, you know, I'm looking at my stats, but I'm like looking at the entire FBS's, you know, stats, like see who's the passing leader, who's the rushing leader. And you see these names over and over and over. So same thing for me, man. Like you just kind of look up these stats and you learn these players' names just by playing. And by you playing college football, it makes you want to watch college football on Saturdays and Thursdays and Fridays, whenever the hell it's on. You're staying up on Saturday night before NFL Sunday. You're watching Pac-12 bullshit. 10 o'clock start, you know, East Coast time to watch Arizona and Arizona State. You know, two teams you probably do not care one bit about, but you're going to watch it because, oh, man, Tet McMillan's on here or this guy's on this team. So I'm going to go watch those guys. So, I agree with you. I think only having the college game is going to help college fantasy football, and it's only going to help you know, grow campus to cant leagues. I think campus to cant leagues are kind of see a boom here. So I'm really excited to start getting into it for sure.
I would hope so, because at least for these last couple years, right, especially there's so much football that you're able to watch, you know, different streaming. And now we got a billion channels and like all this stuff. And you got some games that are on, you know, Wednesday nights and Thursday nights and the random Friday night game, you know. Yeah. And then obviously Saturday when the NFL season isn't here, they'll do some stuff on Sundays or Monday nights, especially early in the college football season. You got games all the time, and it's getting bigger and bigger. College football just keeps growing and growing and growing, because I think a lot of it is even some of those East Coasters who aren't like really big into college football, the Northeast Coasters. Let me not offend the people in the Carolinas and Florida who are diehard college fans, Georgia especially. Right. But like the Northeast Coasters where it's not a big deal to them. I think with the amount of exposure and the ability to watch college football, it feels like all the time. Even some of them are really coming around because we just love football and we want to watch it all the time. So for me, with all this exposure as a person who already liked college football and liked football in general, C2C leagues were a big jumping off point, because all of a sudden I got to realize and start to know players that I would have no interest in watching their team play or watching them play in the past. And one example I always talk about is Daquan Finn. Daquan Finn went to Kent State, which, me living in Iowa, I mean, you're in Ohio, Eric, so maybe you know a little bit about Kent State. I don't really give a fuck. I really don't. Like, I shouldn't care about Kent State ever. I didn't go to Kent State. Nobody in my family went to Kent State. But I had Daquan Finn, thanks to Campus to Canton being ranked high enough, and I took him in two startups that year. because I was like, oh, they got him ranked pretty high and his stats look good or whatever. I don't know who the fuck this kid is. And you take him, and within the first couple of weeks, Daquan Finn's putting up like 35, 40 fantasy points a week on my college football team. And I'm like, I got to check this motherfucker out. What's he about? And all of a sudden, I find myself on like Thursday night actively searching for the Kent State game so I can watch Daquan Finn play. Yeah. And now Daquan Finn's got a fan in Iowa that he should have never had. And somebody's like, shut up, honey. I got Daquan's on. We're going to watch him cook. All right, just wait till the next series. And now the kid gets a chance to transfer to Baylor and play in a Power 5 school, you know?
Yeah.
Like, play big-time college football. I don't know if he's going to have what it takes to make the NFL. I've never seen him, like, highly rated or first-round grade or just wait till he comes out, that kind of thing. But I'm a Daquan Finn fan now because of playing college fantasy football, and I think the NCAA football game not only helps C2C leagues, but it just helps grow the college game in general. And I think if you're a college football fan, eventually you're going to kind of gravitate to, like, listen, I play dynasty football. I like college football. Why the fuck am I not playing college fantasy football? And why not just merge the two together?
Yeah.
So we'll kind of see, maybe it's a niche thing right now, but maybe in 5-10 years, if this keeps going at this rate, maybe C2C is the norm and dynasty is the old, like how we view one quarterback start eight lineup dynasties right now. Like,
right.
Get with the times, Grandpa.
Yeah, I could see that. So another thing I wanted to bring up is kind of as we're explaining campus to Canton here. So obviously you draft your NFL side, you draft your college side. We've done all that. What happens at the end of the season when it goes over? So you have supplemental drafts. It could be what are they usually, like 15 rounds or something like that?
So in the for my league so far, both Campus Cant leagues I play in, we do have 15-round supplemental drafts, which is incoming freshmen. These are college supplemental drafts. Incoming freshmen, obviously. And then anybody who maybe fell through the cracks, didn't get picked up on waivers. You kind of touched on it earlier. Maybe it's some fucking kid from Kent State, for example. Like, I can use another one. Devontae Walker last year transferred from Kent State to North Carolina to play with Drake May, and that was like a big deal. Now the NCAA like fucked that up and made him sit out for like 8 games or whatever it was till they got their fucking heads out of their asses. But that was like a big deal. Nobody fucking really had Devontae Walker on their college fantasy team, and all of a sudden this guy, I think at the time he was rumored to be like 6'4 and 205 or 210, whatever the college height weight thing is, which they kind of embellish sometimes.
Right.
Is gonna go play with a guy who's rated as the 1 or 2 quarterback coming out next year. Like, that was a big fucking deal. And we know Devontae Walker can run too. So you put that all together, and all of a sudden in supplemental drafts, it was like, fuck, I gotta give me some Devontae Walker. Keon Coleman, another one. Michigan State wasn't big time or really good. Transferred to Florida State, a bigger program, more exposure. And all of a sudden, like, Keon Coleman's a priority in supplemental drafts. So freshmen and those kind of guys who fall through the cracks or transfers.
Yeah, so you got to kind of balance that too with, you know, a Devontae Walker who's going into his junior year, his third year, obviously looked really promising. Or would I take, you know, for example, this year, do I take Jeremiah Smith, who's going to Ohio State as the wide receiver recruit, who is like an absolute filthy fucking stud so far from everything that we hear? Do I take that guy that is 4 years away, who's a super stud, or do I take this guy who's looking really promising with a Drake May as his quarterback now, who everyone, you know, last year he was a top 2 quarterback going into the season in college. He was right there with Caleb. You know, do I take that guy? And then we see what happens to Walker. He ends up going in the 4th round of the Ravens. You know, yes, he has some fantasy value and dynasty value, but it's not like what a Jeremiah Smith could have. So you have to kind of weigh your opportunities there. I'm like, oh, do I want to take this guy or do I take, you know, Walker, you know? And then some of these guys don't end up being Jeremiah Smiths or Julio Jones or AJ Greens or whoever. They end up being, you know, these, like, the one that I always think of is, I think is when, my first campus, the Canton League, started was Kelvin Harmon. He was the wide receiver for North Carolina State. And he was a big time, like top 5, top 10 college fantasy wide receiver. Everyone thinks, oh man, this guy's going 1st, 2nd round, and he goes undrafted. You know, you have guys like that all the time that you think they're going to be great and they end up being undrafted players. So it's a really fine line to balance, and you're going to miss. Like, you're not going to hit every single time on these guys. It doesn't matter if I'm sure Matt Bruning and Felix Sharp and those guys miss all the time on these guys. Like, it's even if you're a diehard, you follow this stuff 24/7, eat, sleep, drink it, and you're gonna miss guys too. Some of these guys just don't pan out. So,
It happens, man. We
yeah, it just happens.
miss just doing 5 rounds of rookie drafts every single year, where like these are the most scrutinized fucking players coming out, right? Everybody's got a model, analytics, prospect data, and I can tell you I feel good about this 2024 class, Eric, but I also think if I look back in 4 years and I'd be like, what the fuck was I doing taking this dude at the 107, you know?
Right.
Like, why did I ever invest in Michael Penix? But we tell ourselves a story now where we feel really good about it. Imagine that, but on a giant fucking scale of college football. Like, you are going to miss. It happens. But just in general, so far the supplemental drafts, I looked at the ones from last year. A lot of freshmen within the first couple picks: Malachi Nelson, Dante Moore, Nico Imalava, Arch Manning, obviously Zachariah
Yep.
Branch, and then like the second round, you really start to get into some proven production, some guys that have kind of been around, some guys maybe available for the first time. Like we forget Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter was
Oh,
the
yeah.
first time they were Division I eligible because they came from the lower level of college football, so they were in the pool for the first time. Like Michael Penix was the 204. That's a guy who slipped through the cracks, and all of a sudden in the second round, now somebody took him at the 204 in their supplemental draft, second round, and he goes on. He's the 8th pick in the NFL draft. I don't think anybody really expected that, but that's the kind of wins you hit. But in the same sense, like if let's say Dante Moore, because I just took him in this one too. Let's say he never becomes anything. Are we going to be shocked? I'd be like,
No.
what the fuck was I doing, right?
Right.
We hope he does, but you're still betting on unproven talent, just like you're betting on unproven rookies coming in the NFL, but you have even less of a track history, right? We kind of talk about college guys when they come out for rookie purposes in Dynasty, like, oh, they went to a power, they played in the SEC, right? You know what the talent of the level of competition is. You got to remember, these kids are coming from fucking high school. And some of these kids, when they come out, are built like Greek gods and freak shows. And, you know, could you imagine Derrick Henry in high school? You know, you're just a fucking sophomore or a junior at 5'9", 180 pounds, and you got fucking Derrick Henry, who's built like a NFL middle linebacker at age 16, and you got to tackle this fucking guy. Like, no wonder you put up ridiculous high school stats. Not saying Derrick Henry is not great, but you got to remember, like, he's playing against dudes who are going to be going to school for art or going to be managing a Home Depot, you know, within a couple years or whatever the fucking case is, right? He's playing against average Joes at high school, just played high school football. He's not playing against SEC talent necessarily 24/7. So as you go up the food chain, it gets tougher and it's a little easier to evaluate the level of competition they're playing against. In these supplemental drafts, we're evaluating guys based on what they did in high school and where their recruiting rank is and how people are project, but it's all fucking projections in the end of the
It's
day.
projections. It's all a crapshoot, man. Like, there's literally so many factors that go in it. There's injuries, obviously. Like, you look at Kayshawn Boutte, super stud his freshman year, and he suffers that ankle injury, Achilles injury, whatever the hell it was, and he hasn't been the same since. Unfortunately, we get a lot of guys doing stupid shit, fucking getting in trouble off the field, DUIs or.
John Emery was one of the highest rated running back recruits coming out to LSU. And I remember in the Devy community a few years ago, that was a guy to go get. And I think I just saw now he's coming back for like his 9th year at LSU. And I don't think he's put together more than like 3 games total in his entire career to this point.
So, I mean, you get these guys that, you know, they end up getting in trouble and stuff. You know, look at Eric Gilbert, the tight end.
Oh, yes.
Perfect example. That dude was with Georgia. He's with Florida. He was with LSU. Couldn't stick anywhere. Was always getting in trouble off the field, but he was always a super high recruit. You know, and you just miss. Like, my first one of my first guys that I'm like, oh man, I think I found a freshman who's going to be really, really good. It was a running back, DeMarcus Bowman. I think he went to, Clemson, and then he went to Florida. Never did anything. So that's like you're gonna miss on guys, so you're gonna have to accept it. But going back to supplemental drafts, so you usually do like 15, 20 rounds. Obviously, it replenishes your college side because you're gonna have guys that graduate to the NFL. So you're basically like your rookie draft is just a supplemental draft for college. You do a little bit more rounds on that so you can replenish people's rosters, and then obviously your college players that get drafted. So your Michael Penix goes eighth overall. He goes to your NFL roster, and now you just added a quarterback to your super flex team. You had Bo Nix, you had Drake May, you had, you know, whoever. They're going on to your NFL roster now, so that's always sweet. So you're always adding to your NFL roster, and then you're also going to have – you're still going to have your rookie drafts for the NFL draft. You probably shorten those. They're probably like three rounds, two rounds, you know, something like that at max, because when you get to the NFL side of the things, you're not going to have – all these super studs available. You know, Jamar Chase isn't going to be there, and Justin Jefferson isn't going to be there. You're going to have to draft, you know, your first pick might be DeVontez Walker or somebody who wasn't picked up in there. This isn't Campus to Canton specifically because it's different, but I've had some Devy drafts where, you know, you select your Devy players before the season. And a couple years ago, when LSU had their big run, Joe Burrow was pretty much the first pick in all of those leagues that, because nobody picked him in Devy leagues. Justin Jefferson, nobody picked him in Devy leagues. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was the first round running back, he wasn't picked in any Devy leagues. So, if you play, you know, in leagues like that, even with Devy, you can still get a Joe Burrow, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson. It's rare, but it does happen. Campus to Canton leagues, probably not going to happen. Those guys are going to be picked up like Joe Burrow. I'm sure it was picked up in every single league during the season on waivers. So your rookie drafts for NFL draft aren't going to be that great. They're obviously going to be very devalued. But is there like, I've been kind of thinking about it. Is there like a way that you think to make those rookie drafts more valuable?
You can, and it's a little bit tougher. So like last year we did one waiver period in both my Campus Canton leagues, like just one, and it was about week 6 or week 7, and then people could drop an ad and pick up some surprises for the season. And I would say even with the one waiver period, with the rosters and everything, like for example, the supplemental draft in the South Harmon League, the first pick was Jalen Wright. So you're like, okay, at least that's somebody who's got some value. Then Jermaine Burton, you're going, okay. And then you get into Javon Baker and Isaac Arendo and Tyrone Tracy. And then it really devolves into Isaiah Davis, Dylan Lobby. You know, my first pick is Tip Reman. That's like how shitty it got at the 8th pick. And you're like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. But that's just with one waiver period.
Right.
I think you could do it possibly where you didn't have any waivers, which I think people would be very upset with then on the college side, because you're still trying to win a championship and you want to be able to adjust your team in season outside of just trading. Obviously, trading is always going to be there for you to be able to do it, but it's tough. It's tough. And I think NFL supplemental drafts are just, they are what they are at this point, right? Yeah, the NFL rookie draft essentially is just going to be whatever leftover turd dart throws you want to take your shot on. If you got the first couple picks, then maybe you'll have some value, right? If you want to value those typically like you would a early third round rookie pick in a traditional dynasty league, probably fine. Fair evaluation. Yeah. Everything else, treat it. I mean, a lot of these guys that were taken in the second round, Eric, I'm telling you, are just going to be cut.
Yeah.
The seat, right? The,
yeah,
the
you're
roster.
Taking the seventh round, you know, Rasheen Ali's and
shit. You wish you had a Rasheen Ali in some of these, right? I'm literally telling you, this is the second round of our rookie draft, quote unquote rookie draft. Isaiah Williams, Sione Vaki. I took Dante Miller, who's undrafted free agent for the Giants. Yep. Kendall Milton. Somebody took Lorenzo Lingard. I have no idea who the fuck that is.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're taking undrafted guys. Got a
Mason Plein. I don't know who Mason Plein is.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, so the second round gets really turdy. It really does.
Okay.
So in reality, if you just wanted to have one round, you could probably get away with one round.
Get away with it, yeah.
And, and if you did enough waiver periods during the season, you know, kind of like what we're trying to do this year, I think you might not even have a rookie draft whatsoever on the NFL side.
Yeah, you just you hope you had enough NFL players to come over.
Yeah,
college players that come in to actually be your rookies. So yeah, that makes sense. I think another thing, like you mentioned on the Canton Bound podcast, I think you know you draft all these college players. Let's say you have 13 guys coming over, but you don't have enough roster spots on your NFL roster to do 13 guys. I think having like a 6, 7, 8 man taxi squad on Sleeper is probably, I mean, that's only for lineup leagues, really. I don't think best ball has
Sleeper. So
you'd have to do it with a lineup league, which we don't like that much. But if you could have taxi squad spots on that, I think that would, you know, allow you to hold on to that Dalen Holker. You know, even though he went undrafted, you can kind of see how he develops a year or two in the NFL before you have to cut him. Because if you had Holker, let's say, and he comes over to your NFL roster, but you only have 35 roster spots, but you have 40 guys, he's probably one of your guys you're cutting because he's an undrafted tight end.
I think one of those things too, especially trying to do more of these and get a nice groove, is I think the NFL size for rosters, especially for best ball leagues, without taxi eligibility. I mean, we got to start the conversation at like 40 roster spots. Maybe it's going to be 45. I really hate to see some of these guys that you've been invested in for 4 years, 5 years, some of these super seniors, this kind of thing where you've had them on the college side forever and you're really a big fan of them. The minute they get to the NFL, you're like, they got no fucking shot whatsoever. I just got to cut this guy. Like, that feels really shitty just to have to make people do that and just throw them to the waivers because they don't have enough roster spots. So, however we kind of progress and are thinking of starting up leagues and roster settings, I think that's one big one, that at least for me, that I want to, like, kind of acknowledge and be like, listen, man, I just enjoyed this guy for 5 years. Don't make me fucking cut him day one. Right. as soon as the commish puts him on my NFL team, I'm like, I gotta fucking drop him. He's got no chance whatsoever.
Yeah.
At least you could hold on to him and feel good. Like, it's not hurting my team in the long run. I don't need to make these moves or whatever. And I can maybe see if Dalen Holker fucking did something for him.
Yeah, if you're like me, I use up all 40 of my roster spots. I don't have empty roster spots or anything. So with like 40, I can find some guys that I can cut. I can cut this Salvin Ahmed. I can cut this Miles Gaskin that are, you know, basically not really a rosterable right now on my teams. I can cut those guys off my team to make room for my college guys, or it just opens up more trading opportunities. Like, you know, you can have that guy on your roster, but you can't make any moves until you cut your roster down. But if you can make a trade with somebody to trade your, you know, player that maybe somebody has some interest in, at least, you know, get you some fab, get you a college draft pick. And that's the other cool thing too. We didn't really talk about trades, but you can make trades with the NFL and college together. You just like say, hey, I want to give you Jahmyr Gibbs for Jeremiah Smith. Somebody wants to do it, they can do it. You know, you just have to propose, you know, write it in the comments or DM that person and work it out that way. But that's cool too. You can trade between, you know, college players and NFL players, or you can mix them up. You know, this guy gets two college players, I get, you know, two NFL players and a college player, something like that. You can mix them up too. So that's pretty cool.
It is. I wanted to give people just an example of like what happens from college when they're done to like what you get on the NFL roster, and like why you can get excited about it, why it feels good sometimes. Mm-hmm. So in the South Harmon League, which is interesting to so this isn't the South Harmon, this is the other one me and Adam run, Cheaper Than Beer. Like, we're graduating Drake May to our NFL roster, feels good. Bucky Irving, Jace McClellan, I guess he's like something.
Yeah.
So running back Keon Coleman, Devontae Walker, Jalen Polk, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy's going to the NFL side, Jordan Whittington, Dalen Holker, Brevin Spann Ford. Like, those guys are all going. All of a sudden, now they're all on our NFL team.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice, too, being, you know, super flex. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, man, I got Drake May. He's the 105 or 106 in traditional rookie drafts. Neighbors, same kind of thing. Keon, nice early second-round pick. Hopefully help our team out. And then we got some, like, running back depth, that kind of thing. It's kind of nice, that feeling when they graduate. Unless you're one of these shitty teams who never really care about the college guys at all. And, like, yeah. As a commish of some of these leagues, having to move college guys from the roster and go through it, some of them are real easy to do. I look up and down their roster, and I'm like, you got like one UDFA. Congratulations. So let me put them on your NFL roster. And other people are just stacked to the tits. You know, they got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison, like all these. They got the first 8 picks of a traditional dynasty rookie draft going to their – you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, must be nice.
Yeah, how does it feel?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I haven't locked myself into any of those yet, but hopefully with this one I can do it. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would. Which opens up like the strategy. Is that something that you want to do on the college side? Like in our league that we made, I thought one of the coolest things in there, trying to mix it up and give it, is when we do our NFL startup, we're going to include the first 36 college picks in there. So. Shit, if the NFL side, I don't know how people are going to draft necessarily, but if you wanted to get real aggressive and go, man, fuck my NFL team, I'm just going to draft a bunch of turds that I hope pop late. But college, man, I want all the first round picks of the college startup. You know, I want all the Jeremiah Smiths and Arch Mannings and, you know, Ollie yeah. Gordons and whatever the fuck else, Luther Burdens. Like, I want all these guys. Maybe your NFL team's going to be dog shit for maybe a year or two, but in a couple years, if all those guys hit, you're right about it. All of a sudden, you're the one with the juggernaut. You're like, man, Eric's got the whole first and second round of this class right. going to his team. This is bullshit.
Oh, man. Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. I think we do have a couple open spots, so if there is anybody out there who wants to try a campus to Canton League with us, we will be starting that here soon. I think we have like 6 spots left or something.
Yeah, for sure. Just hit us up.
We'll update some more on that. So that'll be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been wanted to definitely get into more into college, and then obviously with the game coming out, you know, we talked about that a little bit, man. I think college is just getting ready to explode here, and then obviously. You know, Texas and Oklahoma going to SEC now. And then, you know, you got all these other teams coming over to the Big Ten. So, like, all these super conferences are getting built up. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I think it opens up some interest and stuff, too, just to do for fun. You know, maybe make a 12-team custom conference and try to put, like, some of these offensive skill players all on, like, each individual 12 team, like, transfer them over, however the hell. I don't know what the roster editing is going to look like on the new game with the NIL and everything in there, but hypothetically, you could do that, and then you could, like, figure out draft orders and shit based on simulations, that kind of stuff. You know, maybe consolation or supplemental picks, that kind of thing with how your team on NCAA does. Maybe play some head-to-head games, you know, the tiebreaker, right?
Yeah, like, listen, opens up some more possibilities.
Like, you get to the championship of the college game, and then you take those teams, and, like, you build out the offensive rosters just like it, and everybody gets an equal defense or whatever the hell it is, and now these two got to go head-to-head. So just to get in it, now you got one final game, all right? And you got to play it on the sticks, all right? Play the video game for who the champion is.
That would be really cool.
It'd be fun to do a little bit of, like, crossover stuff like that, but maybe down the road we'll figure out a good way to do it.
For sure, for sure. All right, we ready to do America's favorite game, and then we'll get out of here.
Let's do it, buddy.
All right, so obviously we're talking about the college football game. What is your favorite either memory or thing about the college game, like from back in the day, that you like the most about the game?
So my freshman year of college, playing it with all the people in my dorm, like football team, random people down the hall or whatever into the college football game. We had big tournaments, lots of shit talking. I mean, lots you really had to grow
Natty
up.
Light and Keystone Light.
Yeah, yeah. And we'd go to town on it. But one of my favorite ones was that was like right when they put Vince Young like in the game, and they made his ratings good enough to be basically, for those of you who played Madden, it was kind of like 2004 Mike Vick but yeah. for the college football game, like playing with Vince Young was almost a cheat code. But I remember those early days where nobody really fucking knew about Vince Young. They didn't know that far. So you're like, why the fuck are you taking Texas? You're not even a Texas fan. I'm like, wait and see, motherfuckers. Wait yep. and see. You're running circles around him and then chucking 60, 70-yard touchdown passes. Eat it. And then you're handing off to some running back named Jamal Charles who has like 99 speed. Just kicking their ass. So those are some of the best memories was in college, playing college football. And it got heated. There was some fists that went flying a few times. There's a lot of shit talking, but it was one of the best times ever, just playing with all those people in person.
Hell yeah. So one of my favorite things, obviously, so when I first started, like, they didn't have like the online portion like too much. It was like the early portion of the online, but like getting rosters, I literally had to go onto eBay and go do a buy it now on some random guy's. He had all the roster, some roster company. You spend like $9.99 on the roster and send basically your backup PlayStation memory card to this guy, and they would upload the roster file to you. You get it back a week later, import that file onto your game, and there you go. You had all the names for every single college player. So that was always a big thing for me. Like, I couldn't start my season until I got all the names. Like, I'm not playing with number 10 Troy Smith on Ohio State as just number 10. Like, I need to see it says Troy Smith or Maurice Claret or whoever it is. So that was a big thing for me. I've loved the addition of when you would push down on the rumble sticks and you would pump the crowd up and the screen would start fucking shaking and shit. That was really cool. I always enjoyed, like, I still remember them to this day, like, just on the screens, like, you'd get all the fight songs and theme songs, and then you get them in the games and shit too. Like, that's how I learned a lot of those, and like, I know what Notre Dame sound like, and I played a shit ton as USC with Leinart and Reggie Bush and those guys. I know what that one sounds like. Obviously Ohio State, and then obviously go into other stadiums, you'll hear Michigan's and Iowa's and whatever else. So you learn all these the songs. So I thought that was cool. And then when they started to really upgrade it was later on in the, you know, 2010s, 2014s area, where you would do the recruiting. And then you'd have they would have all these different factors. Like, you'd have to, like, kind of figure out which factor this player likes the most. Like, is it playing time? Is it college prestige of the program? Is it girls? Is it fucking video games? Whatever it is that they were interested in, you had to, like, kind of go through the process and figure out, hey, you know, this is the ones that they liked. And once you found it, you could hammer them on that little thing, and they'd probably commit to your team for the college freshman. So that was always fun for me, too, to do that. Like, I was like you. I spent hours and hours and hours playing those games and playing season after season. And then you were able to, you know, once you had all the names, obviously all the top guys would graduate. Then you could take that draft class and import it into your Madden game. And then you'd have the actual draft class for Madden instead of, you know, Tom Beers or something, whatever the fuck would be the first pick overall, some, you know, some fake name. So having, like, the actual guys coming into the college game over to your Madden game and be, you know, created players, I think that was one of my favorite parts too, because I played a lot of, like, Madden leagues and stuff like that. So having those college players was awesome.
Having the rosters was one of the best things ever, especially. Yeah. So the last year the game came out, just maybe a couple years ago, three, 4 years ago, whatever it was, I had the real itch to play it again. So I went out and bought a shitty like Xbox 360 or whatever the fuck it was at that time. And went and had my old memory card or whatever it is, and a USB. It was on a USB drive. And I put the college game in, fired it up, loaded up the rosters that I had from that time, fully edited. Everything was on them. And, like, going back and looking through the college football rosters in 2013, this is the one thing that stood out to me forever, is just, like, how crazy some of that shit was. It was Alabama's running back depth chart.
Yeah.
From 2013, Eric. It's D. Hart, who he kind of had, like, a cup of coffee in the NFL. Yeah. Derrick Henry, We know what he is. TJ Yeldon. Kenyon Drake on the team. Derrick Henry. And then fucking Alvin Kamara had to transfer that following year because he was like the sixth string running back. Alvin fucking Kamara was like the sixth string running back on Alabama. And you're like, what the fuck? So going back and like seeing some of those depth charts and then now a couple years into the future, you know, knowing exactly like what, how their careers and stuff played out. You're like, what the hell was going on? It's amazing to go back and look at some of those old rosters. So the rosters have it edited with names and the whole thing instead of just RB4 or whatever the fuck it was. It's so great.
Yeah. It's going to be, man, it's going to be fun getting the game back. Starting up these campus decant leagues, getting all these college players back into our lives and drafting them. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, kind of talking about campus decant leagues, what they are, how they work. Hopefully it gets people more involved in campus decant leagues and they start becoming more of the norm and more of these are out there. Like if this one goes really smoothly, I'll be more inclined to join another one next year. Like, I don't think it's a format that I want to like have 40, 50 leagues in, like, you know, me and Scott Connor have like 60, 70 leagues we play in or whatever. I don't think it's a format that I want to have, you know, more than two or three or four of them, but, I have a couple of them. I definitely want to have at least, touch of this in my life for sure.
I think for me, I can envision it here, especially with the game coming back out and everything and how much I really enjoy doing them. It's a real untapped marketplace for values, and there's so many strategies you can do, and we can talk about game theory until we're fucking blue in the face with these things. It really feels like where we're at with Dynasty. Not saying we figured everything out, but we kind of have a real good idea. If you send me a traditional Dynasty trade, right, and you get the pertinent information about how many teams and, you know, how many you're starting, is it lineup or best ball, and, you know, we got warp and stuff, everything to, like, go on it, you get a real good feel of, like, who won this trade, who fucking lost this trade, who knows what they're doing, who doesn't know what they're doing. You send me a C2C league trade, you know, cross leagues, and I have no fucking idea who won or lost that one, Eric. I got no clue. There ain't no amount of context that's going to help me decide who won or who lost that trade. It really isn't. It's such a crapshoot. It's so open. So I think that's why, for me, I get pretty excited because it just feels like a real untapped space. So maybe if some of these really start going good and we get a lot of the excitement coming back with the college football game and everything else and more people get into C2C, I could see maybe in 5-10 years, if you were to look at my portfolio of fantasy, it might be predominantly C2C leagues at that point.
Yeah, that would be interesting if things go that way. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. It could go that way. So
we might get some, like, I don't know, some ability to track high school stats and play high school fantasy football. Maybe it's a, what do you want to call it, baby bottle to Canton?
Yeah, Koopa, start working on that college warp and high school warp tool. Start working on it.
I need that. I need that. I want to draft the kid, you know, right down the street. In dark mode,
too, goddammit.
In dark mode, yes, please. We beg for dark mode.
Too funny. All right, so that's going to be it for this week's America's Game episode. Mike, appreciate having you on as always, man. At Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, follow us there. At South Harmon FF on Twitter and YouTube as well. Mike's got a bunch of new series that he's doing on YouTube videos, so check that out. Always like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff on YouTube. We can always appreciate that. Mike, you got anything for us before we head on out?
No, I don't, man. We're about 1 month away from the college football game being back, baby. 1 month. Yeah. It's getting closer. I can't wait. I plan on like taking a day or two off work. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
If my boss is listening, I'm truly sick though. Just so you know.
Yeah. I was gonna say that cough is really, really bad.
Yeah. It's a 1 month flu or something. I feel it coming on already.
Yeah. Are you gonna be able to play as Iowa though? You're just gonna have to run the ball every play.
Well, that's fine. Run the ball, play defense, throw to Luke Lachey. That's
wide
it.
Wide receiver, leading receiver has like six catches on the year.
Yeah, we'll be fine. It'll be okay. It'll be kind of like playing with Army or Navy or Georgia Tech back in the day. You know, maybe I'll just go triple option.
There you go. All right, so that is it, guys. We will see you next week for episode 47. We'll see you.
See ya.